Amen. Greet each one of you this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you. It's good to have heard what we have heard, to sing what we have sung. I have been blessed to worship the Lord together with my beloved brothers and sisters again this morning, and to hear what is on your hearts, hear what the Lord is speaking to you. It's a blessing for me. I would like to, before I begin here this morning, I'd like to again pray, but let's just all rise for prayer at this time. Lord, we do again at this time come to you. Lord, we are needy. You are sufficient for all of our needs. We understand that. But Lord, it seems so many times we look in other places. Father, it seems so many times we don't recognize from whence our help cometh. And so, Lord, we come this morning recognizing that. We come, Lord, realizing that we need you. Lord, there are many false prophets. There are many who have gone out today who proclaim other methods and means. But, Lord, we look to you. We look to you this day to speak to our hearts. We look to you to manifest yourself. We look to you to fill, to meet the needs of each one here today. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown, even through our Lord Jesus, how we ought to walk. And Father, we desire to follow in his footsteps. We desire to be conformed to the image of our Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would now be with me, that you would anoint my lips, that I could speak as you would anoint, Lord, as you would have spoken to these your people. So we commit the time to you. May you be glorified as our heart's desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We sang, one of the things we sang that stood out to me was, "My heart an altar, and thy love a flame." The flame, maybe. "My heart an altar, and thy love the flame." I don't know what pictures that gives you as you think on words like that, but one of the things that, a story that we've probably all heard various times, maybe in various ways, is maybe Paris Reedhead, he told the story in 10 shekels in a shirt, if you've heard that message. Of these two young men who had heard about the tribe of people who didn't know the Lord, who had never heard, who didn't know, and there was only one way that you could go into that place, and that was to sell yourself into slavery so that you... And that's what they did. They sold themselves. This is the story, and there's some question about the validity of it. But the story is something that has been told many times and probably, like I said, in various ways. They sold themselves into slavery. We know probably who those men were, but I'm not. They were Moravians, and so I'm not going to go into a lot of that story, but I want to say that this morning, before I go into the message that I have to share with you today, They sold themselves into slavery, and this is what they were said to be saying or singing as they went from the harbor. As their ship sailed from the harbor, they heard them say this: "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering." That's how I recall it. That's a very noble thing, to have a life that's so sold out that you're willing to sell yourself into slavery so that you can bring this gospel of salvation to those who are lost. It's a very noble thing, whether it's all of the things are true about that or not. It's a very noble thing to do that. What I'd like to look at this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles for a text this morning, I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I think I'll just read from verse 1 on. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are not, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, if every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward, or a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I'll stop there. So in verse 1, Paul makes it clear who he's writing to, doesn't he? He says, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I couldn't speak to you as people who are very spiritual. You're carnal. And he goes on in the next few verses, and he talks about how you should have gotten to the place where you can eat meat, but you're still drinking milk like little babies. You're carnal. You're yet carnal. He says you wouldn't be, in verse 2, he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it or to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able." Even now, he's saying, you're not able. So that's who he's writing this to. Now, being like babies is a good thing, depending on what we're talking about. Jesus actually said so. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "In malice be ye babes." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word." So that in that way, as in a humble way, as in recognizing our need, we ought to be babes. But we shouldn't be babes when it comes to our maturity. When it comes to what we feed on, what is our meat for the day. We should mature and get to the place where we can take more than just milk. But this was the case, and we know some of the things that were going on in the Corinthian church. We're not going to talk about that. I'm not wanting to spend a lot of time because I'd like to spend most of my time a little bit later with what he says. If we go on down, maybe to verse 8. There's something here that he says that as I was pondering what to share came to my mind, and I'd like to just spend most of my time on this. Verse 8, he says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." And he's speaking there about one of the carnal things that they had among them is this thing of schisms. They had this thing where one was saying, "I'm of Paul," and another was saying, "I'm of Apollos." And we see in another place he talked about, they were talking about Cephas, different people, and they were followers of these different men. And he's saying, "That's carnal." But then here in verse 8, he says, "Now he that planteth," and he had gone on, "Well, who are Paul and is Apollos?" He had said earlier, "One of us planted and the other watered, but it's God that gives the increase." He wants our focus to be on Christ, on God. That's what he's asking for, is that turn your focus where it ought to be. Don't look at us men. Look to Christ. Look to God. He's the one that gives the increase. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, thinking about the story that I told at the outset here, I'm going to have another question for you. Is it right for us as Christians to desire reward? Or are we called to be as those young men, that we have one purpose, and that is to glorify God? We're not looking for anything for ourselves. Is it okay for us to look forward to a reward? I ask that question because I've been in circles where it wasn't okay. I've heard people who say, "Well, that's just selfish. If you're looking for a reward, that's selfish." I want you to bear with me for a little while, and I'm very glad to hear if I'm off on some tangent here that I shouldn't be. But if you would do a study of just the word reward in Scripture. I looked in the back of our hymnal this morning and thought maybe I'd find that one of the categories. But there is no such thing in our hymnal as reward. I looked on some of our sisters' churches' websites to see about sermons on rewards, and there's precious little out there. But when I look in the Scriptures, there's quite a lot. time after time after time after time, you're going to find that there's rewards offered for certain things and behaviors. Have we missed something? Or are we missing something? If God wants to reward us, are we wrong to say we shouldn't take it? I think so. The title that I chose is Rewarded According to Our Labors. Rewarded according to our labors. And that's taken right from this verse. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We're not going to be rewarded for someone else's labor. We're not going to be rewarded. Yes, I believe there is a reward for us for following Christ. That's our labor. That's us following Christ. It's not our parents. It's not some other one of our church brothers or sisters. It's our own labors that we will receive a reward for. If, as we go on here, we want to look a little bit more at what the labors are that we can be rewarded for. There are specific labors, I believe, that clearly are shown in scriptures to be labors that we can be sure that there is a reward for. For instance, if Jesus says that if you give a cup of water to someone, you will be rewarded, you can bank on it. You can bank on it. But one of the things that I like about it, depending on where you read that, it doesn't just say giving a cup of water. It says give a cup of cold water. Now, I don't know how you are. I know some of you probably like lukewarm water. But me, if you want to bless me, if I'm thirsty, I'll drink it lukewarm any way it comes, if I'm thirsty enough. But if you want to really bless me, give me cold water. I think that's what it's saying there is let's be that way, that we do something special, that we make it special, that we when we do something for someone, do it in a special way. I mean, no, you don't have to always do the very best and take in the finest food. No, I think we can overdo some of those extravagances. I'm not trying to say that. But I believe there's something to doing it in a special way, giving cold water rather than just some lukewarm water that it would be a little bit easier to do. You will be rewarded. Jesus said we would. And I believe he said, he gave us, why wouldn't he just say, give cold water to children without telling us that there's a reward? I think there's a reason that we're told there's rewards. He wanted us to know that you're going to be rewarded. Then he goes on in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. That's amazing. Have you ever thought about it? When you are doing the work of God, you are working together with God. He's your teammate in the work. We are laborers together with God. That is, if we are pulling in the right direction. If we're pulling that plow in the right direction. Labors together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. He basically is saying, you are God's farm. You are his tillable ground. You are his vineyard, maybe. You are his farm. You are his husbandry. You are God's building. Here it seems like it's something that Paul knew something about, isn't it? He was a builder. He knew something about building, and so he mentions farming, But then he goes on and talks about building some more. He mentions farming and building, and then he goes on and he has a lot more to say about building than he does about farming. I suppose he might have known more about building than he did about farming. I don't know what all of the reasons are. He could have, and there are other places where farming is used as a metaphor for the kingdom, and I believe it's good. Anyway, let's go on in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. I think that's what I would like for us to consider this morning. One of the things. Are you taking heed? Are you being careful how you're building on that foundation? He goes on and he says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we know that the foundation that we have to build upon is Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what Paul is saying when he says, I have laid the foundation. He laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation that the Corinthian church was built on. That's the foundation that the people in that church were built on. That is the foundation that all of us, if we are in Christ Jesus, are built on, is on that foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other. It has to be that the foundation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is that foundation. But then he goes on and he says, let every man take heed. Let every man pay attention how he builds on that foundation. That's, I think, what he's saying. Pay special attention how you're building on the foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. If any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. He begins by naming three types of material to build with. Gold, silver, and precious stone. I want you to think about those three materials for a moment. Does moth corrupt? Does it rot? None of those. Yes, you can have some dross on the silver and the gold, but it will not rot and it will not decay. The same way with the precious stone, with good precious stones. If you build with that, it's there to stay. The house that I live in was built, I think, in 1838, and those stones are right where they put them back almost 200 years ago. They're still sitting there. They're still right in the place. There's a bunch of wood that they use that is rotted. There's some that's probably burned. But those stones are still right where they were. They're sitting there just exactly the way they placed them almost 200 years ago. What are you building with? What are you building with? Are you building? And I think that's what he's saying. Pay attention to what you're building with. Pay attention. But he goes on then, and then he says, wood, hay, and stubble, or straw. Wood, hay, and straw are the other three materials that you can use to build. Now imagine how much I can hardly imagine how much time they spent building that house that we live in. The time that it took for them to put all of those stones in place is unbelievable. People just don't do that kind of thing this day and time. the time that they spent. I mean, these walls are, I don't know, close to 2 foot thick. All of those rocks, tons upon tons upon tons. They didn't have cranes to set them in place, and they didn't have any other types of material or mechanized machinery to do it with. They did it with brute force. It would have been a whole lot quicker to build with wood and hay and straw. They could have built a house in a fraction of the time. Imagine just, taking a bunch of hay bales, and you can have a house pretty quick that way. I mean, if you would do that, it doesn't mention mud here, but I mean, that's one of the things they do when they build these straw houses. Take some mud and straw, and you can have a house in a matter of a few hours. And that's a little bit the way it is in our spiritual lives. Sometimes, you've probably heard of the marshmallow test. There's this thing of instant gratification. I can have a house quick, or I can have delayed gratification and have one that lasts later. I think that's a little what we're looking at here. Do you go for the instant gratification? What's easy to get? What you can have in a hurry? We see that in the society that we live in. Discipline lives are in short supply, if I can say it that way. People that have the discipline in their lives to do what it takes to get what they want later, they'd rather have the instant gratification than have the delayed. We know that if you want to be a good typist, you don't just go out there and decide one day that, hey, I think I want to be a typist. And so, blah, 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 and all of a sudden, you can just type at 120 words a minute. It doesn't work that way. You're going to discipline yourself, and you're going to learn how people do touch typing. You're going to have people to help you, or you're going to use programs to help you. That's just using one example. Or you're going to go the rest of your life and doing this thing of trying to find A here and B there and looking all over the keyboard. I've seen what it's like. Sure, after you've done enough of it, it's not quite that hard anymore. You can kind of remember it, kind of comes without knowing. But you can't be looking up at the screen and typing if you didn't do something to get to that point. I'm just using one example of life where you have to discipline. You have to learn this. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What are you building with? Is it good? Gold? Silver, precious stones, or maybe you're using a few of those, but you've got a whole lot of wood and hay and straw mixed in there. You've got a whole lot of the stuff that's going to burn up. That's what he says. Every man's work is, the way it says here in King James, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. So what he's saying is, we're going to find out what our work is at some point in time. Whether we have been building with wood and hay and straw, or whether we've been building with gold and silver and precious stone. There's a time coming. There's a time coming when we are going to know which we built with. I think we can already tell today. We can already tell today whether we are building with something worthwhile. All we need to do is look at what the Lord says is something that will be rewarded. It seems pretty clear to me in this passage that when we build with wood and hay and straw, that we can't expect reward. We can't. It says we can, and I don't know what all of that means exactly. It says that we can be saved, yet so as by fire. It seems that there's a possibility to just barely make it, just by the skin of our teeth, so to speak. And you know, you've probably all heard these things. Oh, give me just a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Beloved, I hope none of us have an attitude like that. That I'd be satisfied with just a little small corner over there. Beloved, He wants you to live in a mansion. He wants you to be there enjoying the pleasures of the life that is to come. I think we ought to make sure that we're building in such a way that when that time comes, we will not be disappointed. Because we know many people will be. We know the story, the parable that Jesus gave of those that said, Lord, didn't we visit you? When didn't we visit you in prison? When didn't we feed you? Inasmuch as ye have not done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have not done it unto me. I wonder why he didn't say to the best of these, my brethren. You ever think about that? The least of these, my brethren. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it to me. It wouldn't be hard for us if we seen, I'm going to use, an off-the-wall thing here, but if we seen Joe Biden broke down beside the highway and nobody was stopping, it would be kind of nice to stop and help Joe Biden get his car back on the road, you know. But if it's some old dirty, sloppy guy that is looked down upon by everyone around, maybe we would find it a little bit easier just to keep right on trucking. What about when someone calls that is a needy person, that you know is a needy person, and you think, I don't have time. I don't have time. I mean, this guy, he calls all the time. Why should I take his call? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it to me. That's reward. And I'm not doing it. I don't think that we're necessarily saying, oh, okay, now I'm going to answer the phone because if I do, I'm going to get rewarded in heaven. I don't think that is our attitude. But I believe there is that attitude in our hearts. This is what Jesus would do. This is how he lived. What am I to live differently than Jesus lived? When they brought the children, the disciples said, get them out of here. What did Jesus say? No, let them come. Let them come unto me. The despised lepers, when they cried out, what did Jesus do? Did he say, oh no, we're not even supposed to get close to lepers? No. We know that. Inasmuch as you, as much as I, have done it to the least, we have done it to him. What are you building? And I believe that's part of the building. How do you live your life? I believe it has to do with the occupation that we have. It has to do with the way we spend our time. I believe it has to do with what we consider important in life. What is important to you? Are you building treasures here? Because that is one of the things that Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Where are your treasures? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, you might say, well, I have them in both places. I have the best of both worlds. I have my cake and I can eat it too, as they say. Be careful. Let's be careful. Because Jesus said, woe unto you, rich. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think we do well to believe Jesus' words, to take them at face value. Let's just look at a few verses speaking about reward. In John 4:36, it says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. So, Brother Jason, he's over there spending time in Zanzibar, desiring to reap the harvest. He'll receive wages. It's guaranteed by something a whole lot better than the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Credit. You know, they guarantee you up to, what is it, $100,000, that you're going to have your money if you put it in the bank. Well, there's something surer than that. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. If you're just the sower, maybe you're not reaping the sheaves, you're not reaping the harvest, but you're sowing. All of us can sow. All of us can sow. May we be sowing seeds that are not tares. Good seeds that bring forth good fruit. In almost the end of our Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, we're told this, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I come quickly. It's going to be quicker than you thought. Yeah, I know some of you young people are here are thinking, no, I've heard these old people talk about how short life is. And it seems like it just goes on and on and on. I understand. I was there too. But you're going to come to the place, if the Lord tarries, where you're probably going to say, oh, now I kind of understand what those old folks are talking about. Life is. I mean, I think about when I was young. I think about how long ago that was. And it's, in some ways, yeah, I grant you that depending on what it is, does seem like a long time. But in some ways, it seems like a very short time ago. I think that's part of the coming quickly. But I have my reward. My reward is with me, Jesus says, to give every man according as his work shall be. You're going to be rewarded according to how you built, as how it says here in 1 Corinthians, in Revelation, according as his work shall be, it says. I think the Apostle Paul, who is writing this here in 1 Corinthians, and I think Brother Jason mentioned, maybe you read it actually, this morning where he was there on the Damascus Road and that light shone that and he was knocked to the ground and he heard that voice from heaven saying, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul had that experience. He knew what it was. And then the time came when he also said this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, in another place, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord. Those things that were gained to me, I count loss. There was a time. Are we, Do we have the proper values? Do we value what is good? You can build a mighty fine-looking home with wood and hay and straw. You can putty that thing up and you can paint it really nice. A little putty and a little paint makes it look like what it ain't, they say. It's something that can be done. But let me tell you, it's still going to burn up if you put some fire to it. You put some heat to that thing and it'll go up in a puff of smoke. You build with stones, with gold and silver. They'll last. That fire comes, and yes, it can purify. It can purify the gold. And bless the Lord when He does that in our lives. The fiery trial is the way I think it says there in Peter, which is to try you. Yeah, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." But we also know the parable that Jesus gave of the seed that was sown by the wayside and that which was sown on stony ground. And it sprung up. Yeah, it sprung up. But what happened when the heat came? When the sun beat down on it? I think that's a little bit the same as what we're looking at here today. We need to be on good soil. We need to have those roots going down. And again, this is a metaphor now that goes back to more the farming side of things. In verse 13, "Each man's work shall be tested." Your work will be tested. It'll be tried. It's going to be found out whether it's wood and hay and straw or whether it's precious stones, silver and gold. We have to build with non-flammable materials if we expect it to not be burned up. Let us build as Jesus told us to build up treasures in heaven. Let us do today what will last tomorrow. Let us do today what will last in eternity. I think I'm going to move on here. Everything of value requires care and attention. And it requires discipline, as I said earlier. Our thoughts require discipline. We must consistently determine our inner boundaries and our codes of conduct. We must, and I can't emphasize this too much especially when you're younger. And yes, I think after you're older, you're more set. If you've done those things when you're young, it's not hard. We've seen it time and again. People that were disciplined when they were younger, they're disciplined when they're older. So now is the time. Now is the time, if you're young, to develop those disciplines, to do those things that you respect in older people today. Today is the day for you to start. Don't put it off on some other better time coming. Leo Tolstoy once told a story of a czar and a czarina there in Russia who wished to honor the members of their court with a banquet. They sent out invitations and requested that the guests come with the invitations in their hands. When they arrived at the banquet, the guests were surprised to discover that the guards did not look at their invitations at all. Instead, they examined their hands. The guests wondered about this, but they were also curious to see who the czar and the czarina would choose as the guest of honor to sit between them at the banquet. They were flabbergasted to see that it was the old scrub woman who had worked to keep the palace clean for years. The guards, having examined her hands, declared, "You have the proper credentials to be the guest of honor. We can see your love and loyalty in your hands. We can see your love and loyalty in your hands." Does the Lord see the love and the loyalty in our lives, shall I say? The love and the loyalty in our lives. Just another one that blesses my heart in Psalms chapter 58, 11. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth his substance to the Lord, and lo, his recompense is sure. Far more than all shall be restored. Verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges in the earth." He that hath put pity upon the poor lendeth his substance to the Lord. We're talking about investment strategies, aren't we? We're talking about how you invest. Maybe it is your literal money, or maybe it is your time and your very life. How is it invested? What is important to you? What are you giving of your time and your life for? Where are you looking? Are you looking for the here and now, for the instant gratification? Or are you, is your gaze, your eyes set on the eternal, that delayed gratification, the delayed reward that comes? Jesus, when he was speaking of the Pharisees, and maybe we'll just go to that. I'll wait just a minute. I'd like to just turn your attention for a moment, something that you're well aware of, but to turn your attention to Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 24, reading from the ESV, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." He chose delayed gratification. Can we say that? He chose the delayed gratification rather than the instant. Here was a young man who was in the palace of Egypt, having whatever was available to anyone at the time is probably true. But he chose rather, it says. He chose, it wasn't forced on him, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. He considered reproaches, brothers and sisters, reproaches greater wealth than all the riches of Egypt. That's delayed gratification. Why was this? It says this, for he was looking to his reward. In King James it says he was looking unto the recompense of the reward, I think. Can't get it exactly, but it mentions the recompense of reward. But he was looking to the reward. He was looking with eternal perspective rather than looking at it the here and now. Imagine, I don't know whether he had some misgivings when he was out there in that hot beating sun out in the desert watching sheep year after year after year. I wonder, did he have some misgivings? Did I make the right choice? It wouldn't surprise me if he had some of those thoughts. But we know, we can look back now and we can see he did make the right choice. Will people in time to come look back on our choices and say, they made the right choices? I would to God that they would. and maybe even today. It goes on and says in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how he got his endurance. He's seen the one who's invisible. That's impossible, right? You can't see what's invisible. But he did. He through his faith, through eyes of faith, he's seen the one who is invisible. Who are you seeing? What are you seeing today? Are you looking at the one that is invisible? Or are you looking at the visible things today? Jesus, and I'll turn now to, if you want to look at it yourself, in Matthew chapter 6. But Jesus gives us three kinds of people who already have their reward, who have instant gratification. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then skipping on down to verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, and thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we have three different classes of people who either have their reward now or have it later. Have it now or have it later. Those who fast for show, they have their reward. It's now. Those who fast unto the Lord because they're looking to draw nigh to God, because they're looking to Him, they'll have their reward later. Those that pray to be seen of men, and those that give to be seen of men, they have their reward. But there's a reward for those that don't do it for that reason too. It's delayed gratification. Now, you've probably heard people when they were asked, how are you doing? They'll say, better than I deserve. You know what? That's probably right for most of us. But you know, there are some people that aren't being treated as well as they deserve, or haven't been treated as well as they deserve. Or at least if you look at what the rest of people have, it's not fair. I mean, you think about today what's happening in Ukraine, for instance. Why should those people be suffering the way they're suffering while you and I are sitting here with no suffering in an air-conditioned building, having our comforts in soft chairs? We're here enjoying our time in freedom while they're suffering. It's not only there. It's as close as Haiti. It's awful. It's terrible what people are suffering. But you, beloved brothers, there's coming a time when it's going to be a level playing field, when every one of us will be rewarded according to what we have done. according to our labors. I don't believe that we can expect life to be fair. I don't think we should expect life to be fair. But we can expect at the end, if we have been faithful, if we have done that which the Lord has called us to do, we can expect that there is a reward. If we have built with gold and silver and precious stone, there's going to be a mansion prepared for us. I don't know what all of those rewards are going to be like. You know, I would have to say that, you know, to me, I don't think I am going to enjoy a huge mansion. I mean, they talk about streets of gold and all of the glitter and things that's there. And I think it's probably more metaphor than it is actuality. I think it's describing for us humans the best that they can possibly describe what heaven is like. As my thoughts on it. It's not so much that there's actually going to be streets with gold. I don't know why we'd want to walk on streets of gold rather than something else. But again, I don't know. I mean, I'd be satisfied with whatever the Lord chooses. I think we're all going to be very satisfied. But it does seem that there are varying degrees of reward. I don't understand all of that, and I don't know how all that works. I think we see through a glass so dimly still, even though we see in part and know in part and understand in part, it's still so that His ways are so much higher than our ways. Our God is incomprehensible, and I believe that which He has prepared for those who love Him is incomprehensible as well. We can comprehend in part, we can understand in part. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." I believe that's one of the things that we should expect, that yes, we do have some rewards here. There are some things that the consequences and we can enjoy the blessings for today. But there, I think most of our rewards are going to be in heaven. Most of the rewards of the Christian are delayed. They are to come. Let us build treasures there so that when that time comes, we will not be disappointed. I'd like to just mention yet in closing, you know, I think we live in a time when there's this easy believism, when there's this easy gospel is being preached, and maybe we are more ensnared by it than we realize sometimes. I just wonder. Because when you look at the seven churches there in Revelation, and you see what the woes were that were pronounced against Laodicea and Ephesus there, and you look at what they were doing, they were still doing a lot of good things. We would, I mean, at least for me, I'd look at it and say, you know, they seem to have a will to do what's right. The way is straight. Straight being it's narrow. It's not something that's easy. As someone said earlier, I think it's maybe Brother Joseph, tribulation, through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's not try to dodge it. Let's not try to get around it. Let's wrap our arms around it. Let's embrace it and say it's worth it because the reward is out of this world too. I'll end with... No, maybe I'll just turn your attention yet to... No, I thought I had it right here. Listen to... Sorry about that. Okay. In Psalms chapter 73, I skipped over some of these things, but I'd like to just turn your attention yet to this, thinking about fairness in life. I think the psalmist, David, I mean... Sure, he had some calamities in his life and things didn't always go his way, but he was king after all, and he had things a lot better than some other people did. But he had a time in his life when he said in Psalm chapter 73, verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He was thinking about these people. I mean, he saw the prosperity of the wicked and he was envious, he says. I was envious at the foolish. But then he goes on in verse 17 and he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. So if you're thinking life isn't fair, you're probably right. But consider the end. Consider the delayed gratification. Consider that there is a life to come. That there is an eternal reward for those who build with gold and silver and precious stone. In closing, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You can be sure he'll do what he said. Let's bow on our knees. Yes, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that we have these sure and precious promises. And Father, I do pray for each brother and sister under the sound of my voice. I pray, Father, that you would give us all that tenacity that we need, that desire that we would be willing, Lord, to go to the uttermost. Father, that we would be willing to give of our lives, of our time, of our energies, that we might be willing to sacrifice for the sake of you and your kingdom. Lord, we are blessed that you are so willing to reward us. We are blessed that there are rewards for those who are faithful. And thank you, Lord, for your word that you have given us, that we can look and understand and see what it is that you desire of us. Father, I pray, help us, Lord, to live lives, sacrificial lives, disciplined lives, lives, Lord, that are pleasing to you, and lives, Lord, that are sold out. Lives, Father, that are given for the sake of others. May we be faithful, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.